Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for
this nation. Under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
We are live. This is the Roundtable on Friday night, the 14th of September, 2012. Lisa's here. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm concerned. I look around the world, and you know that thing we heard just a minute ago, that whole give me liberty or give me death thing is likely to be something that you and I see in our lifetime.
I think, yeah, I mean, I had this conversation with my children today. We're entering the Third World War, and I just don't know what's going to happen.
It's absolutely devastating, and it's devastating to me that one advantage we had of all the advantages in the First and the Second World War is a resolute leadership dedicated to the preservation of our country and our way of life, and the leadership we have now doesn't have a clue.
Well, I think they have a clue. I don't think they're resolute to saving America.
Well, you know, we talked about this last night. You know, the very definition of insanity, Lisa, is, you know, I give you a couple of billion dollars and you try to kill me. I give you a couple of billion more and you still try to kill me. I give you a whole country and you try to kill me. I apologize for pissing you off and you try to kill me. And my answer to that is go back to step one and start over again. And that is absolutely just insane.
I know. And I mean, you have to understand that it's you know, we are fighting a religious war against Islam. They are not like Christians. They do not think like Christians. You cannot appease them. They do not understand that, and they're insulted by it. We're entering a world war, and if people don't wake up soon, we're going to be toast.
Well, you know, and you know, I have disagreements with you on that. I have Islam friends who. Are very much against what's going on over there. I don't look at this as a war against Islam. It is a war against a culture. It is a culture that bases its insanity in a claim of religious grounding, exactly like the Crusades did, exactly like the people on both sides of the Irish issue did. That doesn't make them Islam. That makes them radicals who claim to have footing for their cause, their murderous cause in a religion. They have no more footing in that religion than the Crusaders had, and so I look at some of these things that are being written about Islam, quote unquote, and Muslims, quote unquote, and you know, I look at some of the stuff that's written, and I substitute the word Muslim for the word Jew, and I'm reading what Adolf Hitler wrote in 1938. So I don't go as far as that as to say that this is a war against Islam.
Oh, I disagree completely. It's absolutely a war against Islam, and it's absolutely a war against Christianity by Islam. I absolutely believe it with every fiber of my being. And
well,
they don't fight it the way Christians would fight it. They don't look at the world the way Christians look at the world. And unless people start to understand what Islam really is, we are in big, big trouble.
I mean, if you look in Pakistan, you see Islam's fighting wars with Hindus. If you look in India,
Islam believes only religion is Islam.
Oh, so it isn't a war against Christianity. It's just a war against anyone who isn't Muslim.
Well, yeah, basically, but it's mostly Christians and Jews.
Okay. Well, I think it's a war against a culture. I see it as we have what they want, and we have what they want, that is prosperity. We have what they want, that is power. We have what they want, that is a place at the world table. And we have what they don't want their people to want or have, and that is freedom and liberty.
Hmm. Well, you know, I'm not so sure that they're actually trying to get prosperity and freedom and liberty. I believe they want power because I think they want, Islam wants to be the only power there, the only religion there, the only culture there. They want just Islam. So power I would agree with. The others I don't think matter so much. You know, if you have the power, you have everything else. I don't think it's so much an envy. I don't think there's an envy of our prosperity so much as there's an envy or desire to just completely control us and wipe us out because they just want Islam to be the only religion or the only culture on earth.
Well, no, I don't necessarily, I guess, think that there's a desire to have our prosperity. There is, though, a necessity on their part for the people who they have power over not to see what liberty leads to, not to see what it takes to get prosperous, because then they would want that too. It really is, and you hit the nail on the head there. It is totally about power. And aren't most things? I mean, isn't everything that's going on in Washington about power? Isn't everything that's going on in Jefferson City about power? Isn't everything that's going on at Monsanto about power?
I would agree pretty much. Yeah,
it's all about power, and I someone I was listening to today, and I think it was Bortz, actually nailed this down too. I mean, it is so much about power that you have people, Soros, Kochs, who are willing to give up money for power, to give up vast quantities of money for power. Very seldom do you ever see, and I can't think of any time I've ever seen anyone who gave up power for money.
I don't think, if you're someone like Soros, he's not really given any, he's got so much money, he's buying his power. You know?
Exactly
he's
what I said, yeah.
He's not being hurt by giving away his money, because he's got enough of it. You know, after he acquires the power, he'll still have plenty of money.
Oh yeah, I didn't say they sacrifice their whole livelihood for money, for power. I say, you know, there are people who sacrifice all or some of their money. It doesn't matter how much of their money, but you do buy power. You don't ever trade power for money, though. Once you've got the power, you don't ever give it away for love nor money.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So you're right. It is really about power, and in that vein, you know, we see Muslims killing Muslims. Sunnis have been killing Shia for
right.
ten centuries, or how? No, not 10 centuries. Yeah, probably 1,000 years.
Yeah, I would agree, but they'll band together to conquer us first.
Well, they'll conquer whoever they can, and that's the thing, you know. And we talked about this on your show on Wednesday night. You know, we've missed the boat here with this appeasement thing. We've missed it, and we've missed it, and we've missed it. We missed it when Jimmy Carter was president. We missed it. Bill Clinton did a little bit better job on the Democratic side. Harry Truman did a great job on the Democratic side. Kennedy did a great job on the Democratic side. This isn't a Democrat or Republican issue. George Bush did a horrible job on the both George Bushes on the Republican side. So, you know, it is really about what you and Condoleezza Rice were talking about the other night, and that is peace through strength. I mean, unless in the next 24 hours we are chopping off the heads of people in the Muslim Brotherhood, we are begging them to do this again.
Well, you know, that's it. And just, I think, moments ago, I think they raided a base in southern Afghanistan. I think I was reading some tweets.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all over. There's a third world war just moments away, if it hasn't already. They've already declared war on us. They've killed an ambassador. They've raided, I don't know how many embassies, you know, in the Middle East. You know, they've declared war on us.
And just like the Sandinistas, just like Osama bin Laden, just like the Afghani Taliban, we bought them their guns.
We set them up.
You've got video after video of Hillary Clinton standing there in the State Department giving an address where she says the Muslim Brotherhood are a peaceful people. So we sent them $20 billion because this is such a peaceful revolution. This Arab Spring is such a peaceful revolution. And who didn't know they were coming after us as soon as they got the seat of power over there?
Who didn't know? Yeah, who wouldn't have thought? You know, how stupid can Americans be? Completely stupid.
Yeah.
We're completely stupid. Absolutely stupid. And we watched them do it all along. Gave them the money, gave them the equipment, gave them the training, and they've been killing us all along. And you don't even hear about that on the news.
I was talking to a liberal friend again this morning, and I run into her daily when I take my dog out. So we have a discussion usually every morning, and her suggestion was that we send the author of that the producer of that video over there and let them have him, and then they would leave us alone.
Sure, that's going to work.
Yeah.
Just like sending all the money. And that's a peaceful solution. How nice of her, that liberal friend, to sacrifice one of our own so that we can have peace for everyone. That was very generous.
And that's it. I mean, that is it. You know, if we do that, then we are exactly what they are, right? I mean, this guy lives in a country where we say you can express yourself any way you want to. That you can express your religion, you can express your thoughts, you can express yourself in any way you want to. That is the beauty of the country that you live in. The people over there who are killing us are saying, we get to decide what you get to express, we get to decide what you get to say. And now we've got folks who are willing to sacrifice not only this guy but our principles to appease these people. And
think about that, Dave. Just think about that for one second. What we're about to experience. Okay, we're entering into the Third World War. It's going to be like no other war that we've ever had in our history. Okay, where people have had to band together as a nation and fight a world war. Think of the generations that have been conditioned to be anti-war, that have been brought up without the character to understand what real sacrifice is in times of need. Not only are we going to be fighting an enemy who's already on our shores, they're already embedded in cells all over our country and in our government, we're also going to be fighting each other because we don't have a culture set up who loves America, who was brought up with the understanding of the Constitution, to understand what America is all about, who's experienced hard times enough to be able to buckle down and do what's right when the right thing has to be done. I mean, we're not only going to be fighting the enemy, we're going to be fighting that as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's going to be it's going to be unfathomable, and we may well, Lisa, it may be the end of you and I, because we may well have reached a point in our culture where it's an unwinnable battle. It is so far gone, because, you know, what struck me when this person was saying this to me is, you know, is this guy produced a video, and someone reacted to that video like Charles Manson to a Beatles album, only times 15. And we want to give this guy up, but now this very same person who is telling me that we need to give up this guy and the principles that we attach to this guy is the one who tells me we need to continue sending $5 million a year to someone who thinks that Jesus Christ on a cross in a jug of pee is art, and it ought to cost the American taxpayers $2-3 million a year to support that artful expression.
Yeah, how completely warped are we?
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, you know, we don't, the president said, condone the denigrating of anyone's religion. And so we condemn the burning of the Quran, and we condemn but by the same token, and then he went on to make his token threats to the people who he paid $20 billion to do this to us. And at the same time that we don't condone the denigrating of anyone's religion, he is sending $3 million a year to the National Endowment of the Arts so that people can make piss Christ. And we don't condone the denigration of anyone's religion. Well, maybe except our own.
Right. So we live by this double standard, and of course, I mean, we've lived by this double standard for a very long time. We know about this already.
Right.
But to get the other side to admit that they're living by double standard, do you think that'll ever happen?
Oh no, it won't ever happen. Okay, Lisa, go ahead.
People that we're going to depend on when we go to war, because we will go to war, and it will happen on our soil. It will not be over in the Middle East. It will not be, you know, it will not be pretty.
Yep.
And when times are tough, we're going to have to be fighting not only the enemy, but we're going to have to be fighting ourselves.
Yep.
Because we're not able to have the character to stand up and do what's right.
That's right. We have a 50-50 shot in my mind of capitulating to that enemy in the first year, because, and we alluded to this last night as well, we are fighting a people who grew up from infancy in a culture of people killing each other in their front yard day and night. I mean, you look at Lebanon, you look at Syria, you look at Iraq, you look at Iran, and you are talking about a culture where people grew up from infancy with killing going on their block.
Yeah, they're absolutely used to it. They're not going to have any problems whatsoever coming to America and just chopping people's heads off.
Right. That's right. Okay, we're going to do the tonight's Missouri Minute, and then we're going to come back and we're going to leave this alone for a while unless somebody calls in at 347-677-1835 and wants to get in on this. And then when Lisa and I come back, we're going to talk about the veto session.
This is the Grassroots Minute. In April 2009, undercover individuals from the Springfield Greene County Health Department purchased raw milk from Amon and Teddy Bockert of Conway, Missouri, in the parking lot of Springfield store. The Bockerts sell a variety of pasture-raised products, including raw milk, direct to consumers. Missouri law allows for the sale and delivery of raw milk by unlicensed farmers to a customer's residence. The Missouri Milk Board charged that undercover purchases were made at a central distribution point and violated the law. The Missouri Attorney General filed suit to stop the Bockerts from selling in such a manner, and the Greene County District Attorney brought criminal charges against the couple for selling milk at premises off the farm. After almost 2 long years, the Bockerts were acquitted of the Greene County charges in January of 2011. A settlement in the Milk Board case was reached on July 31st of this year, in which they will be allowed to sell and deliver milk to many customers at their homes, at their farm, or at a central distribution point, such as a parking lot. However, a consent judgment signed by a judge enjoins the Bockerts from selling milk to strangers who have not previously arranged for the sale and purchase of raw milk. In other words, they cannot sell to just anyone who walks up to their stand at a central distribution point like a parking lot. Other Missouri small dairy farms like Morningland Dairy and Mountain View have been forced by the FDA and Missouri officials to destroy and recall their raw milk cheese products as well. These are prime examples of out-of-control, power-hungry bureaucrats who are making every effort to deny us the right to choose what we feed our families and to destroy the small family farms in this state and country. These battles are not just about cheese and milk. It's about freedom granted to us by our founding fathers and our Constitution, not being controlled by bureaucratic would-be gods. Taking back our rights and stopping bureaucrats like this is what the grassroots movement is all about. I'm Terry Varner for the Grassroots Minute.
Well, thank you, Terry, and that's an interesting story, Lisa. That I'm right down here in Greene County, so I was right in the middle of that. Raw milk has become quite a popular thing down here in Southwest Missouri. We're dairy country down here, anyway, so it's pretty easy to get. Recapping, this is Friday, so it's okay to recap on something that we talked about briefly last night. And last night, Lisa, to take a sidetrack, we introduced our newest host. What a great show Kevin did last night.
I think it's going to be great having him with us.
That's Kevin, the hillbilly, brings you Hillbilly Logic now every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. He has some great guests and he has some great talk, and he has some ideas that are pretty conservative. So you'll want to pick up on that Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. If you want to get in on this, it's 347-677-1835. But this raw milk deal, Lisa, is just a part of what we were talking about last night, how the government, who is placed, and I had a little disagreement with Kevin last night. I had a feeling, I didn't have a feeling, I heard him and Dave, his guest, say that the government was feeding, you know, groups like Monsanto and the big drug companies so that they could get the little businesses out of the way so that they would only have one entity. You know, if everybody was a blanket under Walmart, then they would only have to control that one entity, the government. And I kind of disagreed with that. I think this whole thing is more fascist than that. I believe that it is more cronyism than that. I believe that Walmart and the big drug companies and the big dairies and the big Monsanto farms and the big ConAgra farms, I believe that they are actually the puppeteers using the government to increase their power by putting the small guy out of business.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's the government saving us from ourselves.
Yes.
You know, that we can only drink pasteurized milk because unpasteurized milk is not healthy.
That's right. That's right. Like you know, you and I couldn't combine our vast wealth and hire ourselves a couple of pharmacologists, and we couldn't go down in the basement and open up a sterile lab and create a cure for lupus because marketing that would just be too expensive. You have to go through years and years of testing, millions and millions and millions of dollars spent on studies, blind studies, then human studies, then studies on studies on studies, and papers on papers on papers. And it's laughable to me that after all of that system designed to keep you and I out of the market, 10 years down the road, after some company has spent $1 billion to produce a drug, we're finding out there's some bad side effects that the FDA should never have let this thing go to start with.
Right. Well, so, I mean, talk about buying your way into power.
Exactly.
The pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies have bought the system that we've got now,
and
the reason having a hard time getting out of it is because of the insurance and the pharmacological lobby.
That's right. That's right. It's not. It is not these nasty doctors. I mean, doctors continue to be, in my mind, the most genuinely heartfelt, compassionate people in the world. American doctors, especially, but they are trapped in this system. That you just mentioned, a system bought and paid for by insurance companies, bought and paid for by pharmaceutical companies, bought and paid for by big hospitals that have become businesses now instead of humanitarian efforts. We have, I mean, and I know it's the same in St. Louis because I had a surgery at St. John's Mercy, and I took someone up for a kidney bypass, a member of my family at Barnes Jewish. So I know it's the same up there as it is here. But we have hospitals all over this country that are spending hundreds of millions of dollars a year to build wings that will forever be empty just so they can spend enough money to say they're nonprofit at the end of the year.
Well,
how crazy is it?
There's the bureaucracy for you.
Yeah.
And you know, and as long as we continue to support that by sending people back to Jefferson City and Washington D.C., you know, you can rant and rave about it all you want, but we continue to send these people back to office.
That's right. That's right. I had a short discussion today with an establishment politician. I'll call him what he is, who contended that the 1329 that they upheld, that is the use tax the governor vetoed and they upheld, and we're going to talk about here at length in just a minute, contended to this very day that wasn't a tax increase.
Yeah, exactly. And the establishment politicians that supported it all say the same thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they felt it wasn't a tax increase, I'm wondering why they didn't manage to override the governor's veto.
Well, because I think that it's a political issue. I think that the grassroots spoke up and became agitated, and this is about keeping the peace until next session when they can redress it and repackage it and bring it back in a different form.
Well, what a perfect transition into actually talking about 1329. Little history, if you listeners haven't been with us since 1329 started out years and years ago. The Supreme Court looked at some cities and counties in the state of Missouri who were charging a use tax for vehicles that you bought out of state. If you buy a vehicle out of state now, you pay the sales tax, of course, to Arkansas or Kansas, and then you bring that vehicle here. And Missouri, specifically your locale, gets to feeling a little bit ripped off because you didn't pay them sales tax.
Right.
So they instituted this use tax. Now, the Supreme Court of the state of Missouri said they couldn't do that, that a use tax was totally different than either an income tax or a sales tax. And it needed to be voted on individually by the voters who would be impacted by that use tax. So in other words, if Greene County wanted to have a use tax, the voters of Greene County would have to vote on it. If the city of St. Charles wanted to have a use tax, the residents of the city of St. Charles would have to vote on that. And
So my question is why are we doing this on a statewide level? If the municipalities want to do it individually, in the interest of smaller government, you know, an individualized government, why are we letting the state do this? Why are we not leaving this up to the municipalities to deal with on a local level?
See, because it's all part of this, and I know you talked about this with one of your guests months ago. The group of the municipal, the club of municipal people there. I forget the name of it, but it's a club. Your city pays to join this lobbying group that lobbies for cities. The what?
No. No, yeah. No, it's not Alec. Is
yeah.
it Alec?
Alec, right. The Municipal League, right.
Alec is a kind of a think tank that all the legislators, some of the legislators belong
yeah.
to.
This is a municipal committee or something. It's a lobbying group for cities. I knew the name of it this afternoon when I was discussing it with someone else. But anyway, these people went up and lobbied your legislatures, and it wasn't that 1329 wasn't okay. All over the state of Missouri, we're going to have a use tax. It was actually just spitting in the face of the Supreme Court and saying, okay, now because we said so. Any community that wants to can just by a vote of the city council or the county commission do a use tax. The people don't have to vote on it after all.
Well, there's a problem.
Well, yeah, I mean that was in the first place. It's a tax increase, and in the second place, it's going to be found unconstitutional 15 minutes after they pass it.
Right, and it is unconstitutional on several levels from what I understand. So why are they messing with it in the first place? And why is this coming from the Republican legislature? And why is the Democratic governor the one who's vetoing it?
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, aside from the fact that it's bad legislation, aside from the fact that it's bad law, aside from the fact that it's a tax increase, aside from the fact that it's unconstitutional, why don't we just hand Jay Nixon a present 2 months before the election?
Yeah, exactly. Or why don't we all just write a check to the legislature and give them the money? Because the way this looks to me is there's no difference between the parties. It's a money grab thing between for anybody who's an elected official, and I know that there are some elected officials who voted against it, so I'm giving you your kudos now. But it's a money grab thing. So anybody who's an elected official is just looking for a way to just, you know, incur more revenue from the state. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on. There's no fiscal responsibility. There's no fiscal accountability at all. It's just all about accumulating as much money as you can.
That's right. So you went to a Pachyderm meeting today where you talked to some people who are pretty sure that this thing is going to see the light of day again in the 2013 legislature.
Yep, that's the way it's turning up. It sounds that, you know, I think that they felt the pressure from the grassroots when they rebelled against it right before the veto session came up. It never saw the light of day. It never came up for discussion. Although prior to that insurgence of negative influx, I think it was pretty much a done deal. I think that was one of the major things that they were intending to bring about or to overturn. And like so many other things that happen in the legislature, if it doesn't go through 1 year, it'll go through the next. You know, they're going to
find
a way to address it and put it in a shiny new package and change it so that it'll go through next year. So, you know, that really ticks me off. You know, I mean, we made it very clear enough for them to be able to drop the issue during the veto session. You know, you should not have to deal with these politicians who are going to play slick willy with you and just change the game rules during the next game. You know, the people don't want this. We made it clear enough for you to drop it this session. We're not going to want it next session either. We don't want it. Don't bring
right.
it up again.
That's right. But we will see it, and so in grass fire form, we will be keeping you people posted when it comes up. We'll be expecting another groundswell from the grassroots, and we'll expect to stop this one in its tracks and not even see it go across the street to the governor's mansion this time. We intend to make it known to these folks that their reelection depends on things like this. Another one we're going to see, Lisa, this time, and this is off topic for tonight, so we'll just mention it. Another one we're going to see this time around is Engler's prescription drug bill.
Oh, don't get me started. Are we going to talk about that tonight?
Okay. No. I'm just saying that for our grassroots people out here. I mean, this is an ongoing fight for us. This isn't, you know, beat it once and it's over with. This is something that we're going to see and we're going to fight term after term after term until the grassroots gets their crap together. And that's you people out there who are listening who did not go out and vote for whoever was running against people like Engler and whoever was running against people like Romine and whoever was running against people like Hartzler, et al. It goes all the way down the line. And so
the best candidates to pick from during the last election.
Oh. Exactly. So, until we get our crap together and actually toss these people out, we're going to keep fighting this battle every session.
Right.
So
we need to have a major bloodletting in Jefferson City. You know, until people figure that out, you know, there just needs to be people from the top down that go.
Yep.
You know, we new faces. You know, and something interesting too. You know. We're on the cusp. Okay, we just finished the veto session, and we are on the cusp of the new session. They're going to start pre-filing bills here in a few weeks. And I want to know, I mean, these folks file in excess of 2,000 bills every session. You know, it's obscene. Nobody does anything to repeal bills or to scale back or to, you know, and they're certainly not doing anything to monitor the judiciary, which is also another part of their job that most people don't even understand that's part of their job. So who's gonna start picking up the ball and running with it? And instead of running to Jefferson City in December with bills to pre-file, how about if we have some limited government legislators run into Jefferson City with a hatchet and an axe, cutting, with long lists of proposals of things to cut during a session instead of long lists of proposals of things to add?
Yep. I like that. There's a fellow from down here Springfield way that ran and lost this last time who when asked what he was going to be trying to get passed when he went to Jefferson City, he said, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to spend 2 years and I'm never going to introduce a bill. All I'm going to do is introduce rescissions, introduce ideas of bills that we need to be getting rid of. So
we need
more. Oh yeah, he lost badly. I think he got 38 votes in the four people that were running for his spot. As you can imagine, he didn't have a lot of money behind him with a philosophy like that. So one kudo though out to our representatives in the veto session for overriding 749. Did you ever get to read 749 after we talked about it briefly last night, Lisa?
We talked about it Wednesday.
Yes.
But I do think that you were right about that bill, though. From what I
All 749 said was that the federal government could not come into the state of Missouri and force people to participate in anything against their religious beliefs. The governor vetoed that, as we knew he would, and the legislature did override his veto. So 749, the religious liberty bill, stands. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. If you want to call in, it's 347-677-1835. And when we come back, there's going to be some serious ranting going on about what's turned out to be the September surprise that we've known for a long time Obama had up his sleeve, and that is to pull the puppet strings on his friend at the Fed and get another stimulus rolling. We'll be talking about that when we come back.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Well, this is the round table. Only two knights showed up tonight for the round table meeting, and that was Lisa and I. We expect a little bit better showing next week. I think Terry's going to start coming along to these sessions, and I'm quite sure that our new friend Hillbilly Logic, Kevin Harnett, is going to start joining us on Friday nights. He wanted to join us tonight and had a prior commitment. In fact, it was a commitment that he reworked onto tonight from last night. He did when we first brought him on board. At Missouri Grassroots Radio, he had said, well, I can't do that first Thursday night that you had me scheduled for because I have a prior commitment with the Republican committee. And then he called them and rescheduled that appointment so that he could do last night his inaugural show with Missouri Grassroots, but he had to have rescheduled that for tonight. So he's not with us tonight. He will make a habit of being with us on, I know he loves roundtable type discussions, so he'll be quite an addition to what's going on here on Friday nights. Lisa, Egan James, which is a raider of bonds, has downgraded U.S. bonds from AA to AA minus today. Did we not see that coming? And sadly, Standard & Poor's has now moved us onto a negative watch list, which aside from the downgrade that we took from them earlier in the year, just after Obama got his $3 trillion debt increase, and as a result of that, as a direct result of that debt limit increase, Standard & Poor's downgraded us, regardless of the spin that you get from everyone else. That is why they did it. Now they put us on a negative watch list, which means that they don't expect things to get any better for us, and they look, as they look at forward at the policies of this country and what the policies of this country are likely to do to our economy, they are not looking favorably at our future and are looking at seriously downgrading us again. That's bad news, Lisa.
Well, I know. I think it's all going according to plan. Do you really think that's a surprise?
Oh,
that
I don't.
I think that's exactly what was, you know, the intention of Obama. I think he's trying to collapse the economy, and he's doing a very good job. I think he's had a very successful presidency.
He has. He has done so, and I agree with you. It's still bad news. I mean, but I agree with you that it's all according to plan. And one of the things I'm quite certain that Egan Jones was looking at when they did this downgrade of our bonds is the announcement today by the Fed. I'm sure you heard it, but they are going to buy mortgage bonds to keep interest rates near zero and to stimulate, it's another stimulus package, to the tune of however many trillion dollars it takes to keep interest price stabilized through 2015.
So I guess this is a good time to go refinance your house, huh?
I guess it is. I guess it is. But,
oh my God.
Listen, folks, the way they're going to do this, of course, is to fire up the presses again and print more dollars. It's the only way they can buy all these bonds is to fire up the presses and print more dollars. Now, aside from the fact that the government buying these mortgages, a certain percentage, and extremely higher than historically normal percentage of which are going to go tango uniform anyway, and and end up being bad mortgages that the government now holds once again. Firing up the presses and printing money. Imagine this with us, folks. You're in a room, and the room has no doors and no windows. And there are 10 people in the room, and all 10 people have $100. And at one end of the room, there's a table, and on the table is some meat and some bread, some milk, some dresses and some blue jeans, and some toys. And people in the room are bidding what they think is a fair price as a portion of their $100, some for meat and some for blue jeans, some for milk. And so through that bidding process and the moving around of money, prices are established. And fair prices are established within that market for these things. Now, suppose that I walk into the room and the same 100 people are there, and the same amount of meat, the same amount of milk, the same amount of bread, the same amount of blue jeans are on the tables. And I say to everyone in the room, okay, I'm going to give you all another $500. What is going to happen to the price of blue jeans?
It all escalates.
Right. Everything goes up. So imagine what the federal government buying all of these bonds by, how are they going to do it? They're going to print massive amounts of money. Imagine what's going to happen to the prices again in the next 12 to 18 months of meat, milk, bread, blue jeans. Because we're in that closed room. There's so many loaves of bread on the table. There's so many gallons of milk on the table. And Big Brother has just walked in and said, okay, all of you people bidding for milk and bread, I'm going to give you all another $1,000.
I mean, what
and,
do you say?
And well, here's what you say. This is just a little bit more insight, people, into how crazy this crap has become. You know, because, I mean, morons like me can see this. Morons like me can see what happens when you walk into that room and give everybody another $500. Morons like me can see what this is going to do to the economy. I don't know that morons like Bernanke can or can't see what this is going to do. Sometimes you think they can't, sometimes you think they can and just risk it, okay? But I can see what it's going to do. And still, after all of that, the friggin' stock market goes nuts today because of this announcement. Like it's the best thing that ever happened to us.
Well, you know, I guess is any action better than no action at all? Is that the attitude? I don't get it either. I mean, I don't agree with it. I don't know how they're going to survive it.
I don't either. You know, I mean, the European community puts together by a shoestring another deal to bail out Greece, Spain, and Italy, and the stock market goes nuts. Like, that's a good thing.
Well, it's not about, I mean, because really, I mean, stocks are going to be worth, when the market collapses, and you know it's going to collapse, stocks are going to be worth nothing.
That's right.
So it's a temporary... You know,
oh, no, I mean, even a moron like me gets that. But what a moron like me doesn't get is how is it that these people who are financial geniuses don't see the same things that we see?
Because they're going to be able to buy their way out of it.
They're not going to be able to buy their way out of it if everything they've got is in this stock market.
Well, they'll get out of it. They'll get out of it before it collapses.
Well, yeah. I guess, well, if they get out of it, it will collapse because they're the ones propping it up.
They'll make it collapse.
Yeah.
They're running the show. They know what's going on.
Okay. Speaking of running the show, Lisa, what do you do on Wednesday nights?
Well, I run the show.
Do you run the show?
Yeah, we're going to change the culture. because we're going to teach people to take control of it and not leave it up to the power brokers and the establishment politicians. So Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, join me, Culture Vigilante Hour, right here on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I know for certain that we'll have a Patriot Spotlight on Wednesday. Beyond that, I'm not quite so sure.
Who is it?
I think it's going to be Republican Liberty Caucus.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, be great to hear from them. And we'll be looking for here in another, like you say, 3 weeks. We'll be looking for maybe a weekly or once every 2 weeks session of Yankee Doodle legislation as they start filing these things up to march along in front of the legislators when they come to town in January. Monday nights we do the Hour of Truth. I come back for that, and it's usually pretty fun. We slice up a couple of politicians, equally right and equally left. We're equal opportunity offenders, and we don't take any quarter on the Hour of Truth. If it's the truth, we tell it, and most of the people in the wings of both sides don't like the truth because most of them don't have a clue at the far ends of the scale. And so we just come along on Monday nights and we talk to you about both of them, and we talk to them both about you and what it is you want to get from them. And then on Thursday night, as we've already alluded to, we've got the new segment starting at 7 o'clock with Kevin Harned, the Hillbilly Logic segment. I heard Kevin last night, and it was a great show. He's got a good radio voice. He's got a good radio head, and he's going to bring us some really, really, really fascinating thing. And then next Friday, of course, we'll do this again. We'll do the roundtable. We'll have some more good, cool stuff to talk about. I'm sure that there will be some fallout from everything we've talked about tonight. I'm sure there will be fallout in Arab Spring, the sequel that's going on. I'm sure there will be some fallout from the veto session. I'm sure there will be some fallout from QE3. So we'll probably come back and review those things next week, I'm sure, and maybe one or two interesting things will happen this weekend. Hey, what did you think, Lisa, of the way the two presidential hopefuls responded to what's going on?
Well, glad you asked, because, if people can't figure it out by now, I mean, we are about to enter one of the most scariest times in many generations that people will remember. And I thought, I'm not a Romney fan, so I'm not beating his drum, but I am voting for him. But he appeared very, his handlers really took care of him, I think, very well. He appeared very presidential and very authoritative and in control of the situation. He looked great when he was speaking. He was behind, in front of a blue backdrop with red, white, and blue flags. And he was a kind of a, he had that message, that peace through strength deal going on. And I thought it was a great message. And Obama and Hillary are bowing and apologizing and making excuses, and nobody sleeps well at night with that kind of message going on. I mean, we're about to enter a war here, and they're apologizing to the people that are beating us up. So I cannot imagine that people are feeling comfortable with that message at all.
Well, Obama is still doing pretty well in the polls, Lisa.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm reading some polls where he's maybe not doing so well. And to be really honest with you, Dave, I don't believe the polls anymore.
Yeah.
I don't trust them. I don't believe them. I think this election is going to show us that we cannot really trust the polls, that they're basically skewed. And
I hope you're right. I'm still concerned a little bit about sorry about that, folks. Still a little bit concerned about the fact that every time I talk to someone who is less than middle of the road, I hear about Todd Akin. I hear about women dressed up as vaginas. I mean, listen, folks, the world is burning. The world is burning. The Fed is printing money. The president is borrowing your great-grandchildren's future, and you're wanting to talk about, I understand your concern about your vagina. I understand your concern about Monsanto. I share every one of those concerns with you, but my God, people, the world is on fire. We can deal with all that stuff later. The world is burning down, and... and clearly, one of these guys can fix that, and one of them has a chance of fixing it, at least. I wouldn't say that he could fix it. But clearly, one of them cannot, and will not, and doesn't want to.
Right. Well, one of them is setting it up.
Yes. So,
but you know what, Dave? I think, you know, while we're, you know, perplexed at people, you know, and scratching our heads because people can't get their head out of the sand and because their focus is somewhere where it really shouldn't be, I think that that's all going to change soon because we're about to get an awakening like we have never had in our lifetime. And our children, you know, our parents probably never had this awakening either.
This is going to be historical. It is going to be historic. And I don't know, can it happen fast enough, Lisa? I mean, can what has to happen to wake people up happen in the next 5 weeks?
Dave, I think what's going to happen to wake people up is going to be devastating. I don't want it to happen. I think it's just going to be horrible.
But, yeah, the question is, can it happen in the next 5 weeks? Because we're lost if we send people to the polls, if we send people in the polls, to the polls in droves and flocks, who are willing to vote based on the idea that we'd ought to wrap this guy that made this video up and send him over there, we're screwed.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, if it happens in the next 5 weeks, there won't be an election. We'll be under martial law, and I mean, I think it's going to be that bad that if hell breaks just before the election, it holds off until after the election, and we can get somebody to deal with it.
Yeah. Well, okay, folks, it's a dangerous world, and we've tried to do something about it here tonight by alerting you to the truths of what's going on out there. I understand that for most of you listening to us tonight, we're preaching to the choir. Most of you get it. But listen and listen good, because this is it, folks. Get off your couches. Get away from your internet. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your friends. Talk to your church. Talk to your fellow employees. Talk to the people you see at the park. Talk to the people you see when you walk around the block. Talk to the people at the grocery store. Write letters to your editor. Get on Facebook and post things to your wall where all of your friends will see it. Use every method available to you to let the world know that you know what's going on, and you hope for the sake of the future of this country that they know what's going on too. I'd like to end this on a light note tonight, Lisa, but I can't think of anything good to say right now.
Yeah, it's a little scary. It's a little scary.
Okay. Well, we're going to call it a week then on that note. And good night, Lisa, and have a great weekend. I'll talk to you on one night next week.
Okay. Oh, I'll have some news to report from the Locke and Smith Foundation banquet.
That's right. You're headed up there. Tomorrow night, isn't it?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, Lisa will be in Springfield for the Locksmith Banquet, and I guess tomorrow night's when we find out who the winner is, right?
Yep, we'll know by this time tomorrow, I'm pretty sure.
All right, brothers and sisters, listen, from Lisa and the whole crew here at Missouri Grassroots Radio, I'm Dave, and we're going to hope you all have a safe weekend. Those are going to be harder and harder to come by. Have a safe weekend, and keep an ear to the ground, and keep those voices up. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio. This has been the Roundtable. This has been Dave and Lisa. It's Friday night. Good night.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.